Thank you, Shari and Ava. Welcome. Come into this circle of community. Come into this sacred space. Be not tentative. Bring your whole self. Bring the joy that makes your heart sing. Bring your kindness and your compassion. Bring also your sorrow, your pain. Bring your brokenness and your disappointments. Spirit of love and mystery, help us to recognize the spark of the divine that resides within each of us. May we know the joy of wholeness. May we know the joy of being together. Amen. Welcome to you all. We have in this church a lovely tradition of an open pulpit where members of the congregation take the service. And here I am today. My name is Jill. I used to do this a lot, but I haven't done it for many years, so please be gentle with me. We're going to light our chalice now. May the light of this chalice be a reminder of the shared values and principles around which we gather, upholding the inherent worth and dignity of every person, cherishing all those diverse creatures and habitats with whom we share this earth, our home, seeking human liberation and flourishing, sharing the common good of all. May this light and all it represents make a home in our hearts, where it will ever guide us back to our highest aspirations, and help us to be responsive, creative, just, and loving in this complex and ever-changing world. Words by Unitarian Minister Jane Blackall. And now we will sing our first hymn, number 360, Here We Have Gathered. Our reader today is Elaine.
Morning, everyone. For the weekend that's in it, I was going to do something a bit anti-Valentine because I don't really have anything to do with having any truck with Valentine's Day. But that's on me. So I know lots of people do celebrate Valentine's Day, and there's nothing wrong with celebrating love, whatever way you choose to celebrate it. And hopefully most of us have been very lucky in life to find love somewhere. So I'm going to read to you the lyrics of two of my favorite love songs. The first one is called The Book of Love, and it's by a guy called something Skerritt. I can't remember his first name, but the version I like is sung by Peter Gabriel. The Book of Love is long and boring. No one can lift the damn thing. It's full of charts and facts and figures and instructions for dancing. And I love it when you read to me, and you can read me anything. The Book of Love has music in it. In fact, that's where music comes from. Some of it's just transcendental, some of it's just really dumb. And I love it when you sing to me, and you can sing me anything. You can sing me anything. The Book of Love is long and boring and written many years ago. It's full of flowers and harp-shaped boxes and things we're all too young to know. And the second one is by Declan O'Rourke, and it's called Galileo. Galileo fell in love as a Galilean boy, and he wondered what in heavens who invented such a joy. But the question got the better of his scientific mind, and to his blind and dying gaze, he looked up high and often sighed and sometimes cried. Who puts the rainbow in the sky? Who lights the stars at night? Who dreamt of someone so divine, someone like you, and made them mine? Love can make you ask some funny questions now and then, but just remember the alternatives. For I remember when I was lonely and unhappy and my lips were cold as ice. But you kissed me, and good heavens, now I'm here in paradise. So if ever I'm not kissing you or looking for your eyes, I won't be blind and I won't cry. I look up high and gladly sigh and thank the guy who put these rainbows in the sky, who lights the stars at night, who dreamt up someone so divine, someone like you, and made them mine.
Thank you, Elaine. The next reading is a song.
I'm sitting in the railway station, got a ticket for my destination. On a tour of one night stands, my suitcase and guitar in hand, and every stop is neatly planned for a poet and a one-man band. Homeward bound, every day is an endless stream of cigarettes and magazines. And each town looks the same to me, the movies and the factories, and every stranger's face I see reminds me that I long to be homeward bound. I wish I was homeward bound. Escaping home, when my music's playing home, when my love lies waiting silently for me. Tonight I'll sing my songs again, I'll play the game and pretend. But all my words come back to me in shades of mediocrity, like emptiness and harmony. I need someone to comfort me. Homeward bound, I wish I was homeward bound. Home, when my thoughts are escaping. Home, when my music's playing. Home, when my love lies waiting silently for me. Silently for me.
This is a version of the Lord's Prayer adapted by Unitarian minister Laura Dobson. Spirit of life, ground of all being, holy is our earthly home. May love prevail in every realm. May we be grateful for all we have. May we practice compassion towards ourselves and others. May we learn to trust our inner wisdom, and in times of joy and sorrow, may we keep turning towards the light of love. Amen. Now I'd like us to read together the words at the back of the hymn book, the words we've chosen for this congregation. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest of truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge in freedom, to serve humankind in fellowship, to the end that all souls shall grow in harmony with the divine. This do we covenant with each other and with God. And now it's time for our second hymn, number 97.
So we're going to have three short poems for the next reading, all on the theme of home. First, Home by Mairead Woods. Home is not the place I live now. It's a gingham cloth at the bottom of my bag. In new places, I unfurl it, spread it out in all its uselessness, with the unopened prayer book, the chipped kitsch leprechaun, my mother's last letter. Somehow they contain the fairy feast of plenty. But the cloth shrinks a little every time. On the imagined mantelpiece, gaps open between the ugly blue dog and the crinoline lady. One day, my cloth will fall to shreds, leaving me finally homeless. Next, Home by Ms. Moham. This is our base, our favorite place, our beginning and end to each day. It's our triumph and glory that these walls tell stories as they soak up all we do and say. This is our space. Each corner is laced with items we've chosen with care. From sweet-scented candles to fixtures and handles, the atmosphere's just right to share. So near or far, wherever we are, no matter where we choose to roam, we live and we learn, but we always return. This is the place we call home. And finally, I'll Be Home by Thomas Case. Life is a series of tiring verbs as I wade through the ashes of orchids. I'm a vagabond with a ragged soul, coming for you on a lonesome hard road. I float aimless like an acorn in a mountain stream. The death of dreams smells like autumn leaves, lonely as driftwood. Home is not going to be a white door at the end of a sidewalk. It's bigger and broader and can't fit behind a fence and walls. It will always be the sum of my memories and longings. Home is walking the streets hand in hand with our son on my shoulders. Home is lying in the grass with your fingers in my beard and hope oozing from your blue eyes. It's eating sushi and laughing at our accidental touch of hands reaching together for the last California roll, avocado safe at a sun-dappled table. I'm drifting lost on a southern wind. When I'm with you again, wherever that is, I'll be home.
Thank you, Kevin. And now a prayer by Unitarian Minister Andrew Hill, which will be followed by silence, broken by some music. Hard words will break no bones, but more than bones are broken by the inescapable stones of fond words left unspoken. And so let us pray. So let us, in the quiet of our minds, speak fond words for those to whom we are close and who are close to us. For those whose presence is now a memory, for fond friends and helpful neighbors. And let us, in the quiet of our minds, speak fond words for those we too often forget, for those who are struggling with poverty, with tyranny, or with disasters, for those who seek work, a home, or better health, for those who are discriminated against because of who they are. And let us, in the quiet of our minds, try speaking fond words for those for whom we find it difficult to speak fond words, for those whom we never see but on whom we depend, for those who irritate us because they are only doing their job, for those with whom we are out of sorts. And let us, in the quiet of our minds, just hope that someone else is speaking fond words, for those whom we love to hate, for those whom we cannot love and who are unlovely to us, for those whom we have forgotten. Hard words will break no bones, but more than bones are broken by the inescapable stones of fond words left unspoken.
As a prelude to the address, I think it can be useful to remind ourselves of the principles that bind us together as Unitarians. So I'd like to present two short lists of Unitarian principles. The first is taken from the UUA website, the Unitarian Universalist Association in America, and the second is based on an address Bill Darlison delivered from this pulpit 10 or so years ago, where he sought to counter the oft-heard assertion that those Unitarians, they don't believe in anything. So first, the seven UUA principles assert the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Two, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. Three, the acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations. Four, a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. Five, the right of conscience and the use of the democratic process within congregations and in society at large. Six, goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. And seven, respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. And as I said, in a similar vein, a set of 10 Unitarian beliefs. Unitarians are not called upon to believe in statements of metaphysical speculation. We have no creed. There are, however, certain fundamental beliefs upon which most Unitarians do agree. Here are 10 such guiding principles. 1, we believe that all human beings have the right to pursue the big questions of existence, and that these questions are best approached in a supportive and understanding community, free from dogmatic assumptions, inherited prejudices, indoctrination, and coercion. We reserve the right to make up our own mind. 2, we believe in consistently examining and refining our personal beliefs and opinions in matters of faith. We reserve the right to change our mind. 3, we believe in respecting all religious traditions. Despite sometimes failing to live up to their highest ideals, they have, given the world inspiring ideas, nurtured great minds, and fostered noble acts. 4, we believe that all religious scriptures are human products, and that they must be interpreted with care and compassion, recognizing that words on a page can never take precedence over reason, kindness, and respect for all. 5, we believe in democracy, that spiritual communities should be run by and on behalf of their members, and that authority to preach and to minister should be conferred by the community and not by any external agency. 6, we believe in that community and that it is important to share joys and sorrows and to celebrate our sacred moments together. 7, we believe that human life is sacred, that each human being is unique and precious, being both worthy and of worth. 8, we believe that we are all entirely equal, that differences between people based on gender, sexual orientation, or gender identity are to be celebrated and valued, and that these differences should never be a reason to exclude a person from membership or bar them from ministry. 9, we believe we have a duty of care for the weak, the vulnerable, and the dispossessed in our own community and throughout the world. And 10, we believe that the earth is precious, and it and every living thing upon it must be treated with care, reverence, and respect.
Thank you, Kevin. Country roads, take me home. How many of you are mentally singing, next line, to the place I belong? Home, that place you can belong. It could be West Virginia or West Cork, London or Longford, Galway or Gaza. And it could also be so much more than a geographical location you can mark on a map. Home encompasses many different ideas, theories, and feelings. Home is about belonging, about security, shelter, community, safety, support, familiarity, confidence, respite, comfort. Home is about love. Home is a fixed point in a world of current affairs spinning around us with increasing volatility. What is it to feel at home, or to come home, to leave home, or, as has happened to too many people, to lose your home, whether to war or persecution, to domestic violence, to the bank, to fire or flood, or to relationship breakdown? What is it to be homesick? The Welsh have a wonderful word, hyrach, which expresses a deep spiritual longing for a home that maybe never was, the echo in the soul of places past. Home has many levels of meaning, and correspondingly meets many levels of need. Looking at all the various needs that are met by what we call home, I have found it helpful to refer to Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Maslow's hierarchy of needs is a model used in psychology and sociology, healthcare and social work. It is a five-layer pyramid describing human needs. Each of the five layers describe a set of needs which must be met before a person is able to build on them and pay attention to the next layer up. The base layer of Maslow's pyramid contains the physiological needs, those fundamental biological requirements for survival, such as food and water, and shelter. Shelter, in this context, could mean a doorway or a cave. It is literally just protection from exposure to the elements. Even people we refer to as homeless generally attain this level of home. But of course, it is far from enough. Once we are not at risk of sunstroke or blizzard, our attention can move up to the second layer of Maslow's pyramid. This contains safety needs, including security and predictability of our immediate environment. What this means for us in terms of home includes the possibility of belongings, whether this be a bookshelf or a sleeping bag. I did an informal survey of what people think of when I ask them what home means to them. A lot of people referred to this level of need. I'm going to give you a couple of quotes. Home is the place I'm in control of. Who can come in? The temperature, lighting, furniture, and where I can spend downtime without planning it in advance. Home is where I can cook, where I can be fully myself. Home is where your books are, and all that stuff you should have thrown away years ago but never did. The third level of Maslow's pyramid is about the needs of love and belonging. This is where we find community, group memberships, relationships, and affection. Many of the responses to my survey can be summed up by Caroline's, "Home is where my people are." I noticed that the promotional advert for this year's General Assembly meetings, the annual business and social conference of the Unitarians in the UK, under whom Gavin has been training to become a Unitary minister, contains the line, "Come to find your people and discover where you belong." I have often heard Unitarians describe the moment of discovering a Unitarian congregation as finding their spiritual home. In fact, just this year, both Jennifer and Maud did so from this reading desk. I tend to be quite jealous of that moment, because I never got to have one. I was born and brought up at the centre of UK Unitarianism, with both my parents, very active preachers throughout London and the southeast of England, members of two London congregations, and serving on several of the local, regional, and national committees. Active Unitarianism was my home, and is my default experience of what religion and church are. So I never had that aha moment of discovering this wonderful religion of ours. More so, I get constantly frustrated when we do not live up to our high ideals. The fourth and penultimate layer of Maslow's pyramid pertains to esteem, recognition, competence, and respect. We each have need for respect from our own selves and from other people. Confidence in ourselves, our worth and our abilities and decisions, and of a worthy reputation. These needs can be met through the emotional security home can provide when we are valued for the roles we fulfill in the family, in the workplace, in our voluntary organizations, and in the wider community. Of course, there may be bullies and abusers in any of these home places, and feeling unsafe in a space meant to nurture you is a horrible experience which too many of us are familiar with. The pinnacle of Maslow's pyramid of needs, the level we can only start to pay attention to when all of the layers beneath it are solid enough to build upon, we find creativity, the ability to become our fully actualized selves. This is where we can achieve joy, insight, personal growth, and be truly at home in ourselves. In my survey, many people described home as the place they are able to write, to craft, and especially to co-create, such as playing inventive role-playing games like Dungeons and Dragons, or in a musical ensemble, or team sports. Now we have looked at our need for home, which is tied into every level of Maslow's model of human needs. When new members of this congregation are welcomed to sign the membership book, they, and all existing members present, make a spoken commitment to support the congregation and each other. As Unitarians, as people of faith, we have declared we believe in the inherent worth and dignity of every person and encouragement of the spiritual growth of those around us, as Kevin reminded us earlier. Surely, we are called upon to help provide some or all of these levels of home to those who are in need. Because Unitarianism is a faith of action. It is not, or should not, be something we do for an hour or two on a Sunday, and then can sit back feeling smug for being so liberal for the rest of the week. It is not enough to say the Unitarian words without thinking about what they mean and acting upon them. As a congregation, we have done some sterling work in this area, standing guarantor for refugee families, giving asylum seekers access to the Dema kitchen, and that kind of thing. My charge to you today is to personally undertake some action to help make those who need it a bit more feel at home because of your presence in their life. You are part of this Unitarian community. We are made up of individuals. Please don't sit back and rely on other people to provide the Unitarian response to those in need. Please be an active Unitarian yourself. Each of us have different strengths and limitations, and there are many ways of stepping up and turning our thoughts and prayers into concrete help for those in need. I am sure many of you are already doing many things in this regard and will have suggestions as to what other individuals can do. Perhaps you can discuss that over coffee after the service. Here are some of my suggestions. You could offer your spare room to a Ukrainian refugee. You could give money to and or volunteer on soup runs, such as the Muslim Sisters of Air, who every Friday give out hot food and sleeping bags to Dublin's homeless. I have heard that the Muslim Sisters of Air do Christianity properly. You could support applications for halfway houses or direct provision housing in your neighbourhood and oppose those who oppose it. You could lobby for adequate and respectful trans health care so that every person of inherent worth and dignity may feel at home in their own bodies. You could make a start by bringing in your neighbour's bins after bin day. There are many opportunities, large and small, for you to make a difference. And I ask you to pay enough attention to see them and act on them. What we begin in our prayers, may we continue in our lives. Amen. And now we will sing again, hymn number 343. I've chosen this one because it's one of my favourites rather than because it's due to the theme. And this will be followed by the collection.
Good morning, everyone. Our notices. Thank you to everyone who contributed to today's service, to our readers, Elaine and Kevin, to Siobhan, our organist this morning, and Siobhan also took the choir this morning. So thank you, Siobhan. And Shari and Ava, thank you for your beautiful music. Finally, thank you, Joe, for a beautiful service. Thank you. So Pam leads our weekly service of reflection here in the church every Wednesday from 1.05 p.m. to 1.35 p.m. You can also access the service on our webcam. The Unitarian Walkers' next walk will be to Skerries on the 21st of February. That's a Saturday. So meeting up at 10 a.m. where a table is booked for the group at the Watermill Cafe, which is in Skerries Mills. And then a tour of the mills will follow at 11. So you don't need to get there till 11 o'clock if you can't make coffee. The cost to visit the mill is €9. Now then, Frank will lead a group for a walk to Holmpatrick Church and the graveyard. Lots of stories to be told there, Frank. The group will then head for a short stroll on the seafront in Skerries. Now, I believe there won't be any trains from Connolly on that particular Saturday, so a bus is your best option, or maybe chat to Marcus for more details. The very first Sundays at 2 concert will take place on Sunday the 22nd of February at 2 o'clock here in the church. And this is a very special concert, which will feature a full performance of the Virtuoso Piano Suite Pictures at an Exhibition by Mussorgsky, and Jude McCann will be pianist. Now, admission is free, and you really do need to book a ticket through Eventbrite, eventbrite.ie, and do a search there for Unitarian, and the concert will pop up. Donations will, however, be invited to go towards the church's restoration fund. I believe it's pretty heavily booked, So there's no guarantee that you'll get through the door on Sunday. So do please book. Josh and Mark's Mind Travels next outing in Dublin will be in the Cobblestone Pub in Smithfield. And that's on Thursday week at 7:30, and it'll be about 1 hour. So spirituality, mindfulness, and of course pints are optional for that gig. Thank you, Jim.
One last prayer. Here we are amongst our fellows in a place we feel safe, a place we know and where we are known in a loving community. With all the problems and challenging situations in our lives, nonetheless, we have the safe, still point of this community on this Sunday in this place. Let us give thanks for the stability we enjoy in our lives amidst our friends and families. Let us pray for all of our sisters and brothers whose lives are not so blessed, whose lives and communities are devastated by war, by terrorism, by famine, by drought, by sickness, by climate change. Let us open our hearts so that we can empathize with our fellows and feel their pain. Let us remember and hold in our hearts those who have had to leave their communities, hoping to build new friendship and new lives in foreign lands. Let us recognize all these things we have in common with them and with people everywhere. Our shared hopes and aspirations for a settled home, a safe haven, rewarding work, a bright future for our children. Let us help build our society into a place which extends the hand of welcome to all those who need it, both without and within. Let us work towards a safer, fairer world for all, wherever they may be. Let us live our lives in such a way that we always behave towards others with the same care and compassion we would hope to receive ourselves. Amen. And now we will sing together one last time, hymn number 159, This Is My Song. Our time together with spirits uplifted and hearts enlivened, renewed in our quest for peace and justice, ready to face whatever comes our way with trust in the steadfast love of the Eternal.